Changing minds one thought at a time.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Do I Not Matter Telesummit, where we are bringing you people who are going to elevate you to the next level in your thought process of Do I Not Matter? So, Vanessa, why don't you tell us about our guest today?
Cheryl Manafee is one of our amazing speakers on this telesummit, and it's such an honor to be able to hear her story, and not only just her story, but to get the background, because a lot of people ask this question of do I not matter, and so I am honored to be able to be connected with her. She is a wife. She's a mother. She's a business owner. She is doing amazing things in this field of being an entrepreneur. But more importantly, I love hearing her story when we have the opportunity to speak. Her topic this evening is Who Will Cry For Me? Cheryl, thank you so much for even stepping up to the plate to say, you know what, I can relate to this. So tell us, how did you feel when you had seen the Do I Not Matter, and then to be able to come up with the Who Will Cry For Me?
I was super excited when I saw your post asking who would like to volunteer to do interviews for the Do I Not Matter and how they would relate to that, because immediately it took me to when I was at a point in my life where I finally had to cry out and ask, who will cry for me? I mean, and so it really touched me because it was so related. They're almost like the same thing, just worded differently. And so there's always a backstory. So my backstory is, of course, I was a single mom for 20 plus years. Of course, when you're a single mom, I became a single mom as a teenager. So as a single mother, as a teenager, you take on a lot of responsibility, and you tend to own just about everything you touch and do because you want to make sure you do right by your child. And, of course, based on the circumstances, you have no choice a lot of times but to take on and own your own rights to your life. So I would take on everything I could, everything from taking care of me, taking care of my child, taking care of family, taking care of extended family, taking care of friends. And I did that, honestly, from being a young child, because I'm the oldest of four. I did that from a young child all the way up until I couldn't do it anymore. And when I say that, I actually had a health scare where I almost died. I was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy and congestive heart failure right at the birth of my son. And so at some point, I still wanted to live that same life. I still wanted to make sure that everybody else was okay, that I had my task list in order, and I was checking things off as I went. I would not slow down for nothing in the world. And then one day, I couldn't move anymore. And so even though I knew something was wrong with me, I was still moving right along as if there was nothing wrong. And I was in the middle of someone telling their story, believe it or not, and I watched everybody cry. And it was a horrible story. I mean, it was really a sad story. And I watched everybody in the room cry. And for once in my life, it hit me. I said, they're all crying for his story. Every time I get to this place in my life that I really need somebody else, I said, who will cry for me? And I have... I'm fortunate to have someone in my life who speaks truth to me. And so I called her, bawling my eyes out, and I go, who will cry for me? And because she's been a part of my life story since I was in my early 20s, her immediate response was, now you're talking. Because she watched me all those years make sure that everything, everybody around me was okay until the point I couldn't do it anymore. So that was my actual, legitimate, serious cry for help. Who will cry for me? Who will cry for me? And I realized at that moment, there aren't very many people who would generally cry for you. And I'm not saying they don't exist, but I'm saying when you've positioned yourself as a person that everybody can go to, then you run the risk of becoming Jesus for everybody else. And at the moment that I decided that, I no longer wanted to be Jesus anymore, that I put my hat up, that I wasn't doing these things anymore, then I no longer had someone who would be there for me, who would cry for me, who would make sure that the next season in my life I can walk through without pain or support me in my pain. And so that was a huge eye-opener for me. And to this date, I've had to struggle with the fact of who will cry for me, not from a sad standpoint, but from a standpoint that when you reflect back on your life and you look at all the things you poured out into people and things, and not that you would want to take that back, but you hear people say all the time, you're going to get it back. You're going to reap what you sow. And it's really funny. It seems like in those moments, you do not get anyone who steps up for you. Not everyone is actually equipped to step up for you. But when you're in those seasons, it is important to know who will cry for you.
That is so powerful. And, you know, a lot of people don't really think about it that way. You know, they're so busy either thinking about just themselves or they're thinking about everybody but themselves, but they don't ever think about the part about who's going to cry for me, you know. Mm-hmm. Even when they're thinking about themselves, they don't even think about who's going to cry for me, you know, who's going to do what I need to get done. And So how did you decide that this was the pivotal point for you, you know, or when did you know that who's going to cry for me was the moment that was going to change your life?
You know, it's really funny. We, well, in my case, I'll say, I think we tend to think that there's only one moment. And for me, there wasn't only one moment. I think for me, because I consider myself strong, because I always was, you know, basically I was a winner up until the point I couldn't be a winner anymore. And even in those seasons where I couldn't be a winner anymore, when I say that, of course, you know, we're always winners. But I'm saying that at some point in my life, it became very apparent, physically, mentally, and spiritually, I could no longer move in the same direction that I had normally was able to move into. And I would like to tell you it was at the moment that I had my third child. And I would like to tell you that it was at the moment that, because I had him on a Friday, I came home Monday night, and Tuesday morning I was readmitted and put into the cardiac ICU. I would like to tell you it was at that moment that I finally realized that. But the who will cry for me moment, it literally came like 5 or 6 years after that. And during that time, of course, you get signs that you need to transition and you get signs that you need to do things. But of course, if you're a little bit hard-headed and of course, if you're used to being able to flow a certain way, you fight it. And I fought it all the way until I just couldn't do it anymore. It's really sad to admit it, but I'm not ashamed of it. I fought it all the way almost to a place of complete depletion. And then I had to turn around. So even when I said, who will cry for me? Even when I said, who will cry for me? I was still fighting and bucking a little bit until I had to fully admit that in this season, I was really going to have to sit down, back up, regroup, and redo this thing and come back as the new Cheryl Holmes ministry. You know, so I can't say there was any one moment, but I'm going to tell you which will make you laugh. Person that was in my life who I've been very blessed to have in my life who has always shot me truth no matter what ever since I was 20-something years old. She's not accustomed to sitting on the phone with people while they whine and they cry about their life problems. And of course, in my early years, I didn't do that. But when you get to a place of depletion, there's no telling what will come out of you. But she wasn't accustomed to hear me doing these things. And she wasn't accustomed to hearing me go through stuff. And honestly, she ain't going to give you about 15 minutes. When I said, who will cry for me, and she screamed, she didn't say, get off my phone with that, because she's real cute about saying, girl, back, get off my phone with that. She said to me, now you're talking. I knew then I had made a change. I mean, I knew then that I was in the right mindset, but it still took some time after that. And honestly, if I could be real with you, it's still taking some time for me now, even though I'm shifting in a lot of areas. Now I've learned to back up a little bit, which is something I'm not accustomed to, but I'm being honest and real with myself so that I can move forward, you know, in a healthy manner.
That is powerful. So many people can relate to that. And the reason why they don't even recognize that they really need to give themselves permission to be able to have some type of peace. Mm-hmm. And because there's this this label saying, you know, family first. Well, family to be the first ones to take full advantage of you and not appreciate you. And now you find yourself completely depleted, and now who is going to be able to refill you? They will be the first one to scatter. And so it's great to know that, unfortunately, it took for you to be able to get to that point where you hit rock bottom to see really who's there and who's not there, but you still have an opportunity because you are still here in the present at the present moment to be able to say, dang, wait a minute, hold on. I really do matter. And I need to be able to put me first.
Yes, we do.
And so that right there is very commendable because sometimes, you know, people will only cry for you when you no longer have no days on earth.
Right.
And so for you to recognize that, that's amazing. And I'm glad that you were able to be able to be so transparent to share your story. Many people don't want to share that, and that alone is commendable. What advice would you give someone who experienced what you experienced, or at a sooner than later type of a moment, to be able to say, you know what, you don't have to go down that path because I've been there. I understand it all so well. What advice would you give them sooner than later?
You know, that's like if someone tried to explain to me, you know, it's a lot of times that we can do things and we know how to do things and we can build businesses. But she said, what is your true message? And I will always have a heart for someone who is literally trying to do something different in their life, but everything around them says opposite, because that's exactly what I went through. So, of course, you know, we're born with every gift and talent that we have. And if there is anything that I could tell a person who was starting out or earlier than me before they got to a place of depletion anywhere near it, is a few things. One, be self-aware. You have to be able to be self-aware. Two, be aware of your environment. And we see time and time and time again and over and over and over again on Facebook where it says it's important to have the right people around you and who's your tribe. But I don't think anybody really knows, I mean truly knows, that, especially if you're in that place that I was in, how important having people around you who could support you as much as you support them, not tit for tat, but having a true heart for your existence, having a true heart for your existence in a manner that is not one-sided. Do not allow yourself to become a part of one-sided relationships. Now, we do know that there are seasons that you may support someone more than they would support you, but I'm saying when you really find out that there's something that's going on in a relationship where it draws more from you than you ever get back. And, yes, we do know that sometimes you don't get back from the same place that you put in. But if you have people close to you, there's no such thing as things not reciprocating. It's going to reciprocate one way or another. Another thing is listen to yourself. Because I would like to lie and say, I didn't feel this feeling in my gut, and I didn't feel this feeling in my head. Long before I ever got to the point where I was sitting in the ICU, I was someone who never got sick. I would get headaches. And so I'm saying listen to your body, listen to your gut, listen to your spirit, and love yourself enough to know. And I know we say that all the time, love yourself and know that you are worthy. And that's a whole nother topic because where I came from, a lot of people don't even discuss self-esteem and all this stuff. So that's why sometimes it takes others a little bit longer than some other people. But if there's anything basic that you can connect yourself to, love you can feel. And love, you know, is a reciprocation. Anything that is not a reciprocation is going to have you to put your antennas up. Stay connected to something that grows you, someone who grows you, and have a capacity, the mental capacity, the spiritual capacity, and the physical capacity to reach out and get things that you really, really want in life. And don't let anyone tell you no. I mean, don't let anybody tell you no, because only you know. And I used to tell my son this. I have a 26-year-old son. And even as a teen mom, I used to tell him all the time, you know, son, I'll be able to guide you through this life, and I'll be able to tap you on the hand when you do something wrong. But the truth of the matter is that nobody will really know you like you and God. So I'll get glimpses of it, and I'll be able to push you through. But you got to help me help you, and the fact that you have to stand on what God put inside of you. And I would say if there's an ultimate message, that would be one.
Wow. You know, that's powerful because, you know, people don't pay attention to that. You know, they think a lot of people let other people run their lives, and they let other people dictate for them. And this is very important because we need to be okay with the fact that at the end of the day, we have to stand for the decisions that were made in our lives, whether we made them or not. So that is an awesome piece of information. So let's say when you were telling your son this, let's say he did not grasp it the first or the second time. You know, let's say, you know, had a problem with that, you know, felt more comfortable with you making the decisions because, you know, we have people in the world that are more comfortable with other people making decisions for them. How did you take your son to the next level?
Okay, what's really funny is from the time he was a little bitty kid, I would feed into him at a time when I knew nothing about affirmations. I would say to him all the time, we have to grow spiritually, mentally, and physically in that order. I'm talking about from the time he could talk all the way up until we were separated. And so there did come a time. He's a little bit more laid back than me. He's way more laid back than me. And so there did come a time where I had to holler up the stairs and come up and down the stairs because I was a single mom and I was kind of an assertive single mom. And I would literally tell him, if you do not think for you, then you give other people the opportunity to drive your bus. And so, therefore, if you allow me to make the decisions for you, I'm going to always make that decision based on what I want. And I would drill that in there and drill that in there and drill that in there. And, I mean, we had a long bout because he was a more laid-back person. And so we would go toe-to-toe, especially when it came closer to him becoming a college student. I went for blows with that one. In other words, there's no way in the world I'm going to let you leave here and you can't make a decision on your own. There's no way I'm going to let you leave here. And so I'm one of those people that, because he was laid back, sometimes I had to put some things into action. So if I found him falling back from making a decision for himself, I would repeat the fact that if you do not make a decision for yourself, other people will make that decision for you, and it will always benefit them. Then I'd have him babysit. So he'd be like, what? And I'd say, if you do not make a decision for yourself, somebody else will make that decision for you, and it will always benefit them. And so even though I wasn't always hip to affirmations and all that, I always had words that I meant over him that what's so funny is you get to an age where you things you say to your children that he now can come back and say to me.
That is so true. You got to plant those seeds. It's very important to plant those seeds into our children because at the end of the day, we want to be able to make a difference some type of way. We want to be able to change what we thought was the best way to go, but we soon to find out that's not the way to go. And so when you plant that seed for the next generation, now that's making a difference and letting them know that he matters. And we need to instill that in our children, in our future. And it takes me back to when I was thinking about, you know, writing a book. It's because I lived the life of asking myself that question over and over again, like, do I not matter? I'm constantly getting stuck in the middle of so many different things because of the decisions that my parents choose to make. And then I wanted to make sure that I don't continue that same thing with my own children. But how many times is this constantly keep happening? So we got to change it, and it's good to know that there are people out there making that change so they don't have to go through that same question, not only in their young adult life, but also in their adult life and then their children. It's like that bad habit that we constantly keep planting the bad seeds that's turned out to be rotten, to say the least. So that's really commendable.
When I was a little older and started to truly realize what motherhood was, and I'm not just talking about, you know, I fed him, I clothed him, I gave him a nice roof over his head. We can drive around, we can get what we... I mean, there comes a time that it becomes more in depth about who you are as a parent, like what that truly means. And we would sit down and have session after session after session. And once he went away to college, he was not, he was a more laid back child. So one time he came home from college and he made the statement. We were in a family, you know, family barbecue, and we were doing it for him. And he made a statement out loud, and I'm going to get real right here. He made a statement out loud. He said, you know, there ain't a lot of people who get on my nerves, but there's this one person who does. Nobody even paid attention to him saying that, right? So I knew he was talking about me because I push him. And in my family, they don't do that. So they're more of nurturers, where I was more of a, we're going to get this, we're going to do this, and we're going to get this right, and we're going to go to school, and we're going to do, you know, I was more one of those, which doesn't always put you in a great light, but I wasn't afraid to be there. And so what I did was I always call them teachable moments. I use that moment as not to get mad at him. I apologize to him for anything I could have done different, but yet I wasn't. In other words, I told him, I cannot go back and do a woulda, shoulda, coulda, and I will not be held responsible the rest of my life for what I did not know. But you can leave that same list that you have where you felt like I could have done something, should have done something, or would have done something, and build that list and make that a legacy changer for you when you have your children. And so I use every moment that I could as a teachable moment.
Wow. Wow. You know, that reminds me of my childhood. My mother used every moment as a teachable moment as well. And you know, when you are the laid back child, it's definitely different. But You know, at the end of the day, you can go back to those lessons. You can go back to those lessons and know that somebody truly cared about you. And you know, not a lot of people have that, you know, to in their repertoire to go back to. And that's why we talk about today, do I not matter? And now I'm going to really just ask you this question so we just can break it down so it's forever and consistently broke, Monsieur. Let's just say, what do you tell somebody when they ask you, do I not matter?
What would I tell someone if they ask me, do I not matter? I would tell them, absolutely, yes. There isn't anybody who does not matter. You know, I have a personal thing, whereas I don't like people who like to oppress people based on the fact that they're, whatever that thing is in them that either suppresses or uses people to gain confidence. And I am a true believer that everybody truly matters. Everybody matters. If we didn't matter, we wouldn't be here. So there's no such thing as someone not mattering. There's no such thing. And I think if you get caught in the mindset that you don't, you're setting yourself up for a whole lot of things. I mean, not just failure. I'm talking doom and gloom. There's no such thing as you do not matter. Yes, we do matter. We just have to tap into the things that keep that light burning. And that understanding in the forefront.
Cheryl. Now, you done hit it out the park with that, and I love it, absolutely love it. This has been absolutely an amazing interview, Cheryl, and, I mean, no person, you just fit just, like, perfectly with the topic to be able to share your truth. To be able to give wisdom along the way, that's what this is all about. And I thank you so much, Dr. Finch and I. We really, really love to hear people's story and just to be able to give them that opportunity to be able to share and to be able to let other people know they do matter, they do have a message, and just to be able to continue to move forward. So, Cheryl, thank you so much. We're going to get ready to close out, but before we close out, make sure that you guys stay connected with us on Facebook at Change Your Minds Online. And also on our website at Change Your Minds Online to get to know more about what we are doing. We have some amazing things coming up. And just to be able to continue to know that we're going to continue to go bigger, we're going to continue to go stronger, we're going to continue to bring people that's willing and boldly and unapologetically sharing their message. Sure, let the people know how they can be able to stay connected with you going forward, because with your story, trust and believe, somebody else would love to be able to stay connected with you.
Okay. Well, my name is Cheryl Menifee. If you want to get in contact with me, my email address for my company, which is called Esteemed Lifestyle, E, S as in Sam, T, E, E, M as in Mary, E, D, L, I, F, as in Frank, E, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, Y, L, E, S, at yahoo.com. So Esteemed Lifestyle at yahoo.com. You can contact me via email, or you can contact me on Facebook at Cheryl Menifee, M-A-N-I-F-E-E. And thank you both for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. I'm so glad to hear your story. Many people need to hear this, and I know that they'll be touched by this message.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. And remember, next, we are always bringing people who are changing the world. And so, remember to ask your question, do I not matter? Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.